Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we raise our kids out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado with a Christian worldview, a Christian outlook on things. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me, as we consider world events, historical events. How do we interpret what is going on in the world around us? Are these random events? That is, are we cosmic dust floating around a universe of pure chance? And there are these random events that occur for no purpose whatsoever. Are we living in a world in which we cannot define good or evil, right or wrong? Or are we made in the image of God? Has God determined what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong? And is whatever happening in the world happening for a purpose, not just random events, but God sovereign over all things? All things are of Him, through Him, and to Him, to whom be glory forever. Is that the way we interpret history around us? Are we living in a world in which we interpret things in a godless way? Have we learned from the media and from our history classes to be godless, to ignore God, to consider God a non-factor in what happens in historical events all around us? So what happened in Manchester, England, with this terrorist event in which 22 people were murdered, killed at the hands of a suicide bomber who detonated an improvised explosive device at a concert where pop star Ariana Grande was performing at the Manchester Arena there in England? Was this just a random event, or is there a God in the heavens who is sovereign over all things? Do we interpret what happened by way of the Word of God, or do we interpret these things as just random events that occurred for no purpose whatsoever in a meaningless universe? Worldview is important, and of course, the ungodly are inconsistent with their worldviews. They tend to get upset with what happens, even though many of them assume that they are nothing but cosmic dust, and the people who are killed are nothing but cosmic dust. That's their worldview, but that's not my worldview. That's not Steve's worldview. Well, still, Steve, I think one of the most shocking things that happened in this concert, in which these terrorists killed some 22 and wounded another 60 or 70 others.
Actually, it's up to 119.
119 wounded, yes.
Yeah.
So it just was a bloodbath in Manchester, England, my friends. A tragic, devastating, heartbreaking thing. But the worst thing about it, I think, is that there were children who were killed and wounded.
Yeah.
In this terrorist attack. Some of these kids were as young as 8 years old. In fact, the youngest killed of the 22 was 8 years old. Steve, that's outrageous. That's devastating. That's horrific. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, what's even more heartbreaking, or at least, you know, the death is heartbreaking. But my question is, why were you taking an 8-year old to an Ariana Grande concert?
That's my question as well. That's my question as well. 12 children, my friends, 12 children under 16 years of age, victims in this terrorist attack in Manchester, England. 12 kids. 12 kids under 16 years of age. What were they doing at an Ariana Grande concert? It's a very, very sad thing when children are killed physically and spiritually. What would Jesus say about all this? Before we take the break, and we're going to come back and talk about Ariana Grande, But before we do so, what would Jesus say? And I think that's important for Christians. We need to respond to these tragic events as Jesus responded. Thankfully, we have examples in the Gospels as to how Jesus responded to tragic events in which 18 people were killed at the Tower of Siloam. Do you remember?
Yeah, when the tower fell over.
That's right. In other words, there were tragic events occurring at his time as well. And thankfully, we have Jesus responding to these events so that we ourselves, as pastors, as leaders in the church, as fathers and mothers, can teach our children concerning these events. What do these events teach us? What do we say about them? Now, I'm not talking about the sentimental Jesus. Some people have configured a new Jesus in their minds. It's very popular in the Western world to create many Christs, many Jesuses, and many different religions. But I'm talking about the true religion, the original Jesus. What did the original Jesus say when 18 people were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell? Jesus says, "Do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That's the message, my friends. That's it. That's the message that Jesus is pounding home even today. What is Jesus saying to all other men that dwell in London, all other men that dwell in the United States of America? What is Jesus saying? Do you think that those who died at Manchester, England, at the Ariana Grande concert were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in London or Manchester at that time. Do you think that these people were worse sinners than those dwelling in the United States? The answer, of course, is no. We've got a problem, and Jesus is calling all of us to repentance. The takeaway message that ought to be resonating from CNN, NBC, ABC, and Fox News, and WorldNet Daily, the message that Jesus is sending home to every single person in England and America, again and again and again, with each and every one of these national disasters, is simply this: unless you repent, you will likewise perish. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. What in the world were 12 children doing at an Ariana Grande concert in the Manchester Arena when the terrorists hit? Be back in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today as we consider this devastating, tragic event that occurred in Manchester, England, with 22 dead of the 20,000 that attended the Ariana Grande concert after the terrorist event. And Jesus gives us the message for any tragic event that happens. This certainly is a takeaway. It's not the only one. There's much more that could be said. God is sovereign over these things. And Jesus says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you a question that's probably on the hearts and minds of a lot of people listening to this right now, because you're saying that God is sovereign, God's in control and all of that. So why or how could God allow this to happen if he's sovereign? If he knows the end from the beginning and knows every event that's ever going to happen, why would he allow this event?
Well, of course, God ordains whatsoever comes to pass. So we know that God is sovereign over these things. They don't just happen outside of his sovereign rubric. At some point, when a terrible, terrible thing happened to Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt, he said that they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God had a good outcome in mind. But, you know, people ask, well, why death in the world? Well, death, any form of death, is a bad thing, whether it's a terrorist-oriented death or a disease-related death. It doesn't matter, Steve. Death is a curse. Death is wrong. Death is a bad thing. Death is a curse upon man due to sin. And see, the thing that most people don't want to acknowledge is that man is sinful, that man has a sin problem, and that man has earned death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans chapter 6, 23. So I think the answer is clear, is that God ordained death in the world, all forms of death, because man has fallen into sin. Therefore, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. That's the takeaway, is repent. Repent, that is, have a change of mind towards your sin, realize that you are a sinner, mourn over your sin, realize that your sin is a terrible affront to God, it's broken your relationship with God, and then also realize that Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins, that Jesus has come that he might set us free from our sins and forgive us of our sins, but we must first confess our sins to him and to turn from our sins unto God in Jesus Christ and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. So that's the message, of course. That's the takeaway message every time. And people get upset with God for allowing these things to happen. But
yeah, especially people who don't believe in God. Yes, and they turn around and say, well, why would God do this?
Especially those who hate God.
Yeah.
Those who are rebelling against God. Those who have broken God's laws. They're sinners themselves. They've got a bigger problem. And they don't want to acknowledge their problem. And so they take it out on God. And they just, it just ups their hatred, their animosity towards God, because God has brought this curse and this judgment upon them due to their sins. And that's the thing that irritates them more than anything else. But bottom line is, man is rebelling against God, and that's why he asks questions like, why would God allow these things to happen? Because, you know, they're in rebellion against God, and they got to realize that. And they need to change their mind and humble themselves before the hand of Almighty God, realize themselves to be sinners, and that they are themselves worthy of death, but for the gift of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the message we need to bring back again and again. But again, the question, what do we repent of? And I think one of the sins we need to repent of is the sin that Jesus brought out in Matthew 18, verse 6. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned at the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. So what Jesus says is, woe to those who offend these little ones. Woe to the ones who stumble these little ones. It would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck, he'd be drowned at the bottom of the sea. I think this is the message, or one of the messages, that Jesus is pressing home, unless you repent of what you're doing in killing children's souls. Unless you repent of stumbling little children, which you do again and again and again when you encourage them to the sin of fornication, homosexuality, and et cetera, which is sins that are encouraged by parents, sins that are encouraged by Ariana Grande and others, again and again and again and again. Jesus is calling Ariana Grande to repent. Jesus is calling parents to repent. I guess the question I ask is, why were 2,000 kids under 16 years of age at this conference or at this concert? 12 children under 16 years of age were wounded or killed. 3 out of the 22 that were killed at the Ariana Grande concert were under 16 years of age, Steve. 3 out of the 22 that were killed were under 16 years of age. And my calculation of 20,000 attended the conference, some 2,000 children under 16 years of age were at that concert, of which at least one, 8 years of age, was killed at the conference, not the concert. The encouragement that I'm bringing to parents right now is, what in the world are you doing bringing your kids to a soul-killing concert? It's not just the body that matters, right, Steve? It's also the soul. Jesus said, fear not him who can destroy body, but fear rather him who can destroy body and soul in hell forever. Fear the true and living God. And the soul-destroying elements of pop culture and the Ariana Grande Dangerous Woman tour must not be ignored here. Now, who is Ariana Grande? She is a lapsed Catholic. That is, she should know better.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's had some teaching, I'm guessing, related to homosexuality. That's one reason why she walked away from the Catholic Church, because she disagreed with God's law in reference to some of the sexual sins that she so much prefers. She is a lapsed Catholic and a homosexual activist as well. She is known for encouraging sexual exploration, according to Wikipedia. And she has songs encouraging homosexuality as well. She has these dangerous songs in her Dangerous Woman concerts that excuse wicked behavior. Now, I just don't think it's right for parents to let their children go to an X-rated concert. I think this was a dangerous concert, Steve. I think the Manchester concert that Ariana Grande performed in was a dangerous concert. And why? Because it was the Dangerous Woman tour. And because Ariana Grande is a dangerous woman. Now, she admits herself to be this, right?
Yeah.
At least by calling her recent album the Dangerous Woman album, and then bringing out the Dangerous Woman tour. Ariana Grande is a dangerous woman, my friends. Why? Because she writes dangerous songs that excuse wicked behavior,
And for parents to let their children go to a concert to listen to X-rated music in which Ariana Grande is encouraging wicked behavior makes for a dangerous concert. You don't risk your children's souls and bodies at concerts like this. Now, here's the song Dangerous, the lyrics for Dangerous, the Dangerous Woman. Here's just a few lyrics. Just get a flavor for this. Something about you makes me feel like a dangerous woman. Something about you makes me want to do things that I should not. What's that sound like?
Sin.
That's right. Sin.
So she knows.
Things I should not do. Right.
Yeah, so she knows it's sin.
Violation of God's law unto sin. Something about you. Nothing to prove. I'm bulletproof and know what I'm doing. Now that means that there's God's judgment cannot touch her. She's bulletproof. She can do whatever she wants. She could be autonomous sexually. She can do whatever she wants. And the judgment of God will not touch her. All that you got skin to skin. Oh my, she takes God's name in vain. So she violates several commandments in these songs. Don't you stop, boy, makes me want to do things that I shouldn't. Something about you. All girls want to be like that. Bad girls underneath like that. Okay, she also has another song called Bad Decisions in which she speaks, I've been doing stupid things, wilder than I've been. You've become my favorite sin. They say it's wrong, but that's the way you turn me on. We got that hood love. We got that good love. Make me make bad. Boy, you make me make bad decisions. You make me make bad decisions. All right, so those are sorts of lyrics. And in her song, Break Your Heart Right Back, she speaks of homosexuals coming out of the closet and shifting from, I guess, heterosexuality to homosexuality in her song, Break Your Heart Right Back. So again, friends, these are songs in which homosexuality and fornication are being flouted. And one reason it's dangerous is because children are being taken to hell as they're being encouraged to a life of fornication. Listen to Revelation chapter 20. As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So, Steve, many are concerned with the first death, but they're not so concerned with the second death. And here we have a warning from Revelation chapter 20 that those that live the life lifestyle of the sexually immoral, that which is encouraged by Ariana Grande, will have their portion in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. I think people ought to be warned about this, especially parents who are taking their children to these concerts, encouraging their children to a fornicating lifestyle.
Yeah, and she's encouraging this because, you know, part of that lyric, all girls want to be like that. And so if you don't want to be like that, then you might be made to feel like you're something not as good as, because all girls obviously want to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are encouraging their kids to stumble.
This is the way, of course, that Hollywood has mainstreamed evil over a long period of time, as well as Nashville. Friends, this is the approach that modern society has taken, pop culture has taken, to be sure that it takes the vast majority of young teens down the primrose path towards hell, and the abandonment, of course, of a Christian world and life view. And it's a pop culture that's leading society towards a massive apostasy in the present world. And my guess, Steve, is there are probably some people who attend church on Sunday taking their kids off to the Ariana Grande concert, not realizing perhaps that what they're doing is stumbling these little ones. And Jesus said, if you stumble one of these little ones that believes in me, it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Seems as if Jesus is very serious. In fact, this is probably one of the most serious things Jesus has said, and he's directing it towards parents now, parents that may stumble their kids by allowing them into theaters, by allowing them into concerts in which the pop stars of the day are the Pied Pipers of Hamelin that are leading kids towards abandoning anything of a semblance of a Christian worldview and a Christian outlook on things, and encouraging them towards all-out autonomous rebellion against God.
Yeah, know this, your children will all be discipled. They're all going to learn at the feet of someone. The question is, who are you having as their teachers? Is it someone who is in the pulpit who preaches God's word? Or is it people like Ariana Grande teaching them to abandon God's word to be a dangerous woman?
Well, as we come towards the end of this program, I'd like to bring out a little bit of the input from WorldNet Daily in their interview with Geert Wilders, I believe the man from the Netherlands, who is most concerned with the Islamic invasion going on. in England and the Netherlands and France and the United States as well. Garrett Wilders apparently was in Universal City, California this week with members of his permanent security detail scanning the perimeter of a patio cast in the glow of a Hollywood Hills sunset. Garrett Wilders explained why he believes the definition of the global threat articulated by President Trump in his historic speech Sunday in Saudi Arabia is off the mark. The Dutch politician spoke to WorldNet Daily before addressing the American Freedom Alliance's annual Heroes of Conscience dinner Sunday night. It wasn't hard to imagine why he's been under constant protection courtesy of his government since 2004, when two North African Muslims were accused of planning to murder him. Now, Wilder says Islam is the problem. Islam is the problem. He says we can only deal with the threat if we face the truth, which might not be too politically correct, but still is the truth, and that is that Islam, and not Islamism, not radical Islam, but Islam, is an evil ideology like communism or fascism that has no place in a free society. At the end of the day, it will replace us. We will lose our freedom, he said. He says it's impossible for the ideology of Islam to assimilate into a free society. People can assimilate, but ideology cannot. And you see it in almost every country in the world today where Islam is dominant. You see a total lack of civil society, a lack of freedom, a lack of free speech. We should not import it anymore into our society, not because we hate the people, but because we have a problem with the ideology that is totally incompatible with freedom. Now, the question I want to ask this. He says Islam is the problem. Radical Islam is not the fundamental problem. Islam is the problem. That's what Geert Wilders says. Now, I'm going to ask you the question, Steve. Is Islam the problem, or is Ariana Grande the problem?
I would say at the base of the problem, it's sin.
Yes. The answer is yes. The answer is, yeah, the deceit, the bad worldviews.
Yeah.
These are the problems. Yeah, I mean, Ariana Grande's got her worldview. The Islamic terrorists have their worldview.
Yeah.
But neither worldview is correct.
Right.
They're both wrong. They both express a worldview that is counter the Word of God.
Yeah, and what seems kind of antithetical or counterintuitive is that, you know, people think that ISIS and this radical Islamism that are out there killing and beheading and things like that, that they are a worse evil. But the people who lure you into evil without you really knowing it. So that's even worse. So to a fish, the hook on the end of a fishing rod is evil to a fish. So if you cover it with fish food, does that make it better? No, it makes it even worse because then you're luring the fish to take hold of the hook.
Hmm.
And so that makes it even more evil when you add fish food to the hook.
Islam is a problem. Islam does destroy freedom economies. And like locusts or grasshoppers, Islam will turn countries into a wasteland. Just look at what's going on in North Africa and the Middle East. Islam is not healthy to economies. Yes, Islam destroys freedom. Yes, it does. That's why Islam itself is submission. The word is submission. The word is to enforce, coerce people into obedience by pure coercion. And, of course, that's very different from God's word. God's word encourages us towards voluntary submission to God. That is, Jesus makes us willing in the day of his power. But it doesn't come by military force. It doesn't come by top-down efforts. It comes by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God, changing hearts and bringing people to repentance, humble repentance before God, crying out for God's mercy, confessing their sins and receiving the forgiveness of Jesus. That's the difference between the Islamic religion and the Christian religion. Huge differences, my friends. But God uses Islam to destroy Sodom. God, in his providence, uses Islam to bring some of these more devastating events into the Western countries. He has, at least over the last 10 or 15 years, to be obvious. That is, if God is sovereign, and if God is providentially ordaining the events of history, which we believe, for of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. God is using Islam to destroy Sodom, and when the Western nations turn into cesspools, the Muslims will be on the gates of Vienna knocking them down. They were on the gates of Vienna, and by God's grace and the Great Reformation, remember, Steve, it was the Great Reformation of Germany and Austria and Switzerland that enabled something of a push back to Islam in the 1500s and 1600s. If it wasn't for the Great Reformation, of course, Europe would have been history. Of course it would have been history. But thanks be to God, there was a Great Reformation as the Muslims were banging down the gates of Vienna in the 1520s and 1530s. And so now the Muslims are going to break down the gates of Vienna. I think they already have. Are they in Austria?
I'm sure they are.
Okay, they are. Okay, yeah. Okay. I just wasn't sure, but apparently they are. They have broken down the gates of Vienna. They're into Austria. I think they're into Germany, too. I think they're also in France, but are they in England?
Well, obviously.
Well, they must be.
Yeah.
They must be. Right. Well, that's what's happening now, my friends, short of a reformation. Sadly, there's been no reformation in the Western world. No real inclination to reformation in the Western world today. But the message is still coming in loud and clear to the remnant that are willing to listen. Jesus comes back again and again. He says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. That's the message to the present day. Friends, I'd encourage you to my book, Freedom, a story of freedom and how God has, over the centuries, established freedom in the Western world. Thanks to the Reformation, thanks to the influence of Christians over the centuries. Get the story on freedom. How in the world have we pushed back against the tyrants? How in the world has the Reformation guaranteed some level of freedom such that we don't live in gulags and such that we are not constantly afraid of terrorist events, or haven't been over a period of 200, 300, 400 years? How is it that we have enjoyed some measure of freedom in the Western world and we have not seen the devastation like that of China and like that of Russia and other places in which hundreds of millions of people have been slaughtered over the centuries? How is it that America has enjoyed freedom? And would you appreciate freedom for your children and grandchildren as well? Get the story, get the vision for freedom, and find out how God has provided something of a blessing of freedom to this country over the last number of years. And be sure you hand off this great story of freedom and thank God for our freedoms in this country that God has preserved and provided over a period of several hundred years. Get the story of freedom from my book, Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced a Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Thursday, May 25th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Islamic militants seized a priest and several churchgoers as hostages recently in the Philippine city of Marawi, according to International Christian Concern. The gunmen also burned down a Catholic church, a jail, and two schools. The offensive took place after government forces tried to arrest an Islamic leader. The militants have threatened to kill the hostages if government troops do not withdraw. Meanwhile, Filipino President Rodrigo Duterte declared martial law on Tuesday in the country's southern island of Mindanao. Duterte stated this was to enforce law and security in the wake of the ISIS attacks on the government in the city of Marawi that killed 3 government troops and injured 12 others. The Constitutional Court of Taiwan ruled yesterday in favor of homosexual marriage. The legislature now has 2 years to implement the decision. If carried out, Taiwan would be the first country in Asia to approve of homosexual marriage. Proverbs 16:12 says, It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. British authorities are searching for 22-year-old Salman Abedi, the man believed to be the terrorist behind the recent Manchester, England bombing. Five suspects have already been arrested in connection with the attack. The UK raised its terrorism level to the highest level, with 1,000 military troops deployed across the country. Last night, Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson offered some excellent analysis about the Manchester, England terrorist attack, which killed 22 and injured 59.
Why is violent terrorism an inevitability in Europe now? Unless you grew up in Northern Ireland or Italy or the Basque Country, terrorism was not a significant hazard a generation or two ago. This is new. Something has changed. What is it? Well, the answer is most people understand, but relatively few admit, is that demographics change. There are a lot of Muslims living in Europe now. Most of them are indeed decent people, as we're often assured, but a surprisingly large number of them aren't. Check the numbers. In 2006, after just a year after terrorists murdered more than 50 people in London on the subway bombings, a full 20% of British Muslims said they sympathized with the motives of the bombers. Younger Muslims were even more enthusiastic about what had happened, about the killings. In 2007, Pew found that at least 20% of young Muslims here in America, in France, Germany, and Britain, and Spain, believed that suicide bombings could be justified. In France, that number was above 40%.
Hours after Pope Francis blessed a rosary yesterday for First Lady Melania Trump at the Vatican, as President Trump looked on, her spokeswoman Stephanie Grisham confirmed to the Daily Mail that Melania is Catholic. Mrs. Trump did more than just show up for a papal audience. She spent time in prayer at the Vatican-affiliated Baby Jesus Hospital and laid flowers at the feet of a statue of the Madonna. The last Catholics to live in the White House were John F. Kennedy and his wife Jackie. Melania and her son Barron will move to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue over the summer. But before the Pope blessed the First Lady's rosary, he asked her a tailor-made question in Italian, as he pointed to President Trump. Quote, what are you feeding him? Potizza? Unquote. According to the Vatican spokeswoman, Francis loves potizza and always mentions it when he meets a Slovenian, reports The Guardian. Potizza is traditionally served at Easter and Christmas, a type of nut bread made from yeast dough. Potizza is typically spread with a mixture of ground walnuts, butter, eggs, cream, and honey or sugar. Listen now to the brief encounter.
The Vatican at the pizza, what do you give him to eat?
Melania Trump appeared to reply that she feeds him pizza. It was unclear on whether the Pope was taking a crack at President Trump carrying a little extra weight, or whether he was just trying to ingratiate himself to the First Lady with a reference to a pastry from her home country of Slovenia. While President Donald Trump continues his first foreign trip as Commander-in-Chief, a new poll suggests that his time abroad may have been good for his approval among Americans back home. According to the latest Rasmussen Report's daily presidential tracking poll, the president's approval rating spiked 4 percentage points this week, jumping from 44% on Monday to 48% yesterday. In the U.S., 8 states have closed all but one of their Planned Parenthood abortion mills. Kentucky, West Virginia, Wyoming, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Arkansas. In 2017 alone, 21 abortion mills and referral facilities have closed, and only 5 have opened. Psalm 37:38 says, transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. And finally, Memorial Day will be celebrated on Monday with barbecues, sports, and good food. But why do we celebrate Memorial Day? Bill Hyde, the producer of Heirloom Audio Productions, has produced a 10-minute film entitled The Lost Secrets of Memorial Day and What the Holiday Really Means. You can watch the film on YouTube under the name The Lost Secrets of Memorial Day. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. And that's the world view in 5 minutes on this Thursday, May 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.